Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been discussing the subject of scriptural marriage and family life. And I've tried to emphasize in this long series of message the importance of scriptural marriage and family life. In other words, many times people are Christians, but they're not following scriptural patterns. Either they're not in the right relationship with the Lord themselves, or they don't respect the scriptures and the importance of the scriptures in their lives and in their families. And for one reason or another, they have not been following scriptural patterns in their lives. One of my prayers, as I have been giving this long series of messages, and this is taken from a manuscript I've written, but one of my prayers is this, that God might convict your heart in any area of life in which you're not following a scriptural pattern. I may not always touch on the area of life that God would use to convict you, but if God's convicting you of not really following some scriptural pattern in your own lives or in your marriage and family in this case, then it's my prayer that God might help you to change. He might help you to make the changes that are necessary so that you will walk, you will live your lives, you will have home and family, whatever it might be, according to the Word of God. And it's the only pattern for our lives. And I want to think with you today about the importance of the impact and influence of the lives and testimonies of older people on the new generations. Now, I'm a grandfather. I think you've realized this as I've been giving this series of messages. I've been married over a period of many years to my first wife, and now God has led me to Joyce. And we've been married just for 4 years, but we're serving God together. But as I look back over my life as a grandfather, I have 18 grandchildren. I have no great-grandchildren yet, but my wife has 9 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. And we realize the importance of the impact and the influence of our lives upon the new generations. I've been speaking about this, in fact, in prayer meeting. How important this is that we influence the coming generations. I recognize, even though God has still given my wife and I an active ministry, that our ministry will not last many more years. In other words, we're already at an older age. We're at the age where we begin to consider how many more years will God give us coming here to Guam, ministering on the radio, ministering in the Bible school and so forth. How many more years will God give us? We don't know. But we do recognize it's very important that we influence the coming generations, that these generations, our children, our grandchildren, and eventually our great-grandchildren, will be influenced by the lives and the influence we have on them. And so as we consider this subject, I want to look back now at the scriptures themselves, key scriptures which emphasize this impact and influence of the older generations. If you were to look, for instance, at Deuteronomy chapter 4, 6, and 11, it gives us the importance of the impact of a father upon his children and the mother upon her children and what these influences may mean. If you were to look at Proverbs chapter 31, the picture there of the wife as a faithful wife and a mother working hard in the home, being a spiritual woman, being a joyous person, not resenting the heavy work of the home and so forth. If you look at some of these passages of Scripture, you see how the Scriptures themselves emphasize the influence of older people on the younger generation. Now, I want to say this, and then I want to get into some examples with you. Many times, grandparents feel, my children are grown. They have their own families. Now I'm free. Unfortunately, this is not true. We are never really free from responsibility before God. A person may have to retire. Their children may be grown already. They may have to retire as far as work is concerned. But their responsibilities still go on in life. Until I face the Lord Jesus, God expects me to be an example and a testimony to others. And I believe this includes my responsibilities with my own children and my grandchildren. No matter how old I might be, there's never a time when I can simply take off, so to speak, from life and quit my responsibilities and turn them over to somebody else. My responsibilities are lifelong as far as God is concerned. Now let's share for a few minutes some of the examples from the scriptures of men and women who were an example to the younger generations. Many times when we look, for instance, at Adam and Eve in chapters 1 to 4, we look at them only negatively. It is true, their sin brought mankind into the sin nature, brought mankind into lifetimes of sin. We recognize, of course, that we're guilty not only because we have a sin nature, but because we ourselves sin. But when we look at Adam and Eve, we look at them negatively. And yet there must have been something they were doing right, because Abel, their son, was offering blood sacrifices to God. In other words, Adam and Eve must have shared with Abel the importance of the coming Messiah. This Messiah had been promised there in chapter 3, and he was promised to mankind. And they must have shared with Abel the importance of this coming Messiah, the one who would be the blood sacrifice, who would be God's sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so Abel himself was offering blood sacrifices as an offering to God. He himself must have had this knowledge. And so there are some good things they must have done with this son. They raised him correctly. They raised him to look forward to the coming Messiah. Then, of course, another example we would find in Genesis would be that of Noah, and how important the example of Noah is to the younger generations. He was a man who stood alone for God in his generation. Apparently, in his entire generation, there was no one else other than Noah and his own family who were living for God. Mankind had totally turned against God. Apparently, they were deep into idol worship. They had forgotten the God who had created the world. It was only a few generations since God had created Adam and Eve. And yet the generations to come had forgotten all about God. They had turned completely against Him. And it was God's desire to completely destroy mankind, except for this one family of people, Noah and his family. It was God's desire to completely destroy mankind and to wipe out forever that generation of people, and just to spare the one family, to raise up a new generation altogether, a generation who would not so turn against God. And so God took this man's life. And we read, of course, in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, and then again in verse 29 and other passages, we read of this man and of the testimony he had in that time, the fact that he found the approval of God in his life. What a wonderful testimony this is. There was just one failure in his life later on, when he became drunken before his sons, and then one of his sons committed a sin because of the drunkenness of Noah. But it's wonderful that we don't remember Noah for the one failure in his life. We remember him for the faithfulness of his life before God. Then the next man we consider would be the man Abraham. And Abraham had some failures in his life. I want to be very frank and very candid about this. He did have some failures in his life. But he's commended in many, many different passages of Scripture, including the book of Genesis itself. He's commended for his strong faith in God. Imagine what it cost Abraham to take his wife Sarah and head south into the land of Canaan, to leave his own family, leave everything he had ever known, to leave everything that was dear and precious to him, and to set out with his few possessions for the land of Canaan, because this was God's will for him, and then to live a faithful life in that land. He did have several failures, but we can understand his failures when we consider the danger that this man was in living in the land of Canaan, land of his enemies. And so this man set out for Canaan. When you study, for instance, Romans chapter 4, when the subject of salvation itself is being discussed, again, this man's faith is highly, highly commended. It's, in fact, the entire fourth chapter deals with this man. There's just one small reference to David and his faith. But the rest of the chapter deals with the faith of Abraham and how this man had faithfully believed God and his belief was counted to him for righteousness. Apparently he had this promise as he offered sacrifices of the coming Savior. And he took these promises and he lived his life faithfully for God. Again in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham and Sarah are at the very heart of that important faith chapter. And many of you are familiar with that faith chapter. But Abraham is at the very heart of it. Then you go back to the book of Galatians, and again, this man is commended. Well, the reason was because he was a man of faith who completely cast himself upon the Lord and who followed the Lord with all his heart, whom God tested in many ways, and yet this man was found faithful. And then the next man would be the man Moses, and what an important life he lived. Moses from Exodus chapter 2 to Deuteronomy chapter 34. It goes through four books, in other words, the life of Moses, from the time we first are introduced to him as a small child, and then finally, when we say goodbye to him in Exodus and in Deuteronomy chapter 34, we say goodbye to him. And in that chapter, Moses finally is taken to heaven to be with the Lord. And so as we look at this man's life, again, we see a man who is not completely perfect. Sometimes he became very perturbed, sometimes very discouraged, sometimes very depressed, in fact. At one point, he even said to God in Numbers chapter 11, "Kill me." In other words, "I can't stand to live anymore. These people have been so rebellious. I've been following you completely with all my heart, but they don't listen to me." And he said, "Just take my life. Kill me. I don't want to live anymore." And God, of course, wouldn't do this to him because God needed this man. God wanted to continue to use this man. So God promoted certain people to be his helpers. They did not take his place, but they were his helpers to help him carry the burden of the people. So throughout his life, this man Moses was a faithful servant of God. And I would rank him, in fact, as one of the greatest men of the Old Testament, a man who faithfully followed the Lord, who loved the Lord so very deeply, and who faithfully followed the Lord. Then another man would be the man Joshua. Joshua is also a faithful servant of the Lord. Now we're introduced to Joshua clear back in the book of Exodus, when Joshua is listed as the servant of Moses. Apparently God trusted Joshua from the very beginning. He did not immediately take the place of Moses. It was only later, when Moses was gone, that Joshua took his place. But one of the things that impresses me is this, that everywhere that Moses went, Joshua was permitted to go. Apparently, Joshua was even permitted to go halfway up Mount Sinai with Moses when Moses went up to meet God. We do not read that Joshua was on the top of the mountain with Moses, but it does say in Exodus 32 that they came down from the mountain together. So Joshua must have been waiting halfway up the mountain, waiting for Moses to come back down again. And so this man was also a faithful servant of the Lord. In chapters 1 to 24 of the book of Joshua, we read of his faithful leadership. Finally, at the very end, he could say to the people of God, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In other words, even as an older man, this man had a testimony to that generation of Israelites. And he could say to them, "Have you found any fault in my life? I've tried to live a righteous life before you. And whatever you decide, we have decided, as far as I and my house are concerned, we are going to follow the Lord. We're going to follow him with all our hearts." What a wonderful testimony this man left behind. One more man I want to mention. That is the man Samuel. Now Samuel lived in a very rebellious period of time. He lived in a time when the people of Israel had just gone through the time of the judges. And it was a very rebellious time. And he was the last, in fact, of the prophets and the last of the judges. He was both a prophet and a judge. And the scriptures consider him to be one of the greatest men of the Old Testament. I mentioned Moses as a great man. Samuel was another great man. And in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15, verse 1, God so highly regards him that he lists him along with Moses. "Even if Moses and Samuel were to pray to me, I would not listen to Israel." In other words, he took the two greatest men and he said, even if these men were to pray, these great men of God were to pray, I would not listen to Israel. And what I want to say about Samuel is just this, just for the moment. He did fail in the raising of his sons, but he was the example that God wanted, nevertheless, in that generation, the rebellious generation coming from the time of the judges, before the time of Saul and David. He was a man that God wanted to stand there. He was a man who eventually had to deal with Saul, that wicked king who disobeyed God with the Amalekites, who later tried to kill David. But he was God's man in that generation, and the people deeply respected him. And when Samuel examined himself as a very old man before Israel, they could find nothing that he had ever done wrong before them. In other words, he was a man of God. And so I want to leave with you some of these Old Testament examples. You could take David, you could take Elijah, and you could take many, many others from the Old Testament. But these are a few of the older generation of the Old Testament who made an impact and were a great influence on the coming generations. May God help us as older people, and even as people who someday will be older, to determine that we're not going to die and face the Lord until we've made an impact and been a great influence on the coming generations. May the Lord help that to be the determination of your lives. May the Lord bless you, each one.